Well, good morning, Connect Church. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
You sure? I need to see some smiles. While I'm family, I am a guest on this stage, and I count it a privilege and an honor, but I'm going to need some help. So I'm just going to, y'all need to be a good class, but I need a hallelujah hall. I need an amen corner. So I need y'all to be able to be good students and good participants, and I need y'all to make me feel like I'm doing something up here today in the name of Jesus. How about that? There you go, right there. Okay, where's my amen corner?
Amen.
All right then. I think we're going to get somewhere today. So, as I said, I get the privilege to stand before you today to share in the series Hidden Figures. I just want to let you know that Pastor Jay prayed for me a couple of weeks ago, and he gave me permission to be a bad actor up here in the name of Jesus. No, but he did encourage me, and I just want to say thank you. I know he's traveling today, but I just want to make it noted that I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you to deliver God's word. I don't take it lightly. This is a lofty task. I was looking at the praise and worship team, and I was just thinking, man, they do this every Sunday. And I was looking at Pastor Jared and, you know, Carl, and, you know, they do this every week. I don't get a chance to do this that often. So when I get a chance to don the platform that God has positioned me for, I count it all joy. Amen?
Amen.
So what I want us to do is just to do a brief review. For the past few weeks, we've been in a series titled Hidden Figures. Pastor Jay has methodically walked us through the lives of three women that were impacted either by the choices of someone else or by life choices. We looked at Tamar, who was in a bad marriage, but made calculated decisions that saved her life. Rahab, who was a harlot, but has been penned in the Hall of Fame of Faith in the book of Hebrews for providing strategic direction to the spies and the part she played in saving their lives. And last week, we visited Ruth, who was moved into a foreign land by her husband, only for he and her sons to die, leaving her and her daughter-in-laws without any support or covering. But she had the faith and the courage to act and to do something to secure her future and Naomi's. As I studied these women, I began to see a pattern emerge. I began to see that these women were specifically designed for the moment and the time that they were born in. I found it interesting that each woman could be described by one powerful word. Tamar was calculating. Rahab was strategic. And Ruth was bold. This was truly enlightening for me, but what it made me think of is you'll never know how strong you are until strong is the only choice you have. I have to give credit to Toby Mac for that. I can't steal people's stuff and not give them credit. So I got that from Toby Mac, and if you don't know who he is, look him up. But that's a true statement. You'll never know how strong you are until strong is the only choice you have. If you could please stand for the reading of God's word, I want us to turn to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. When you get there, say, I got there. If you didn't get there, say, I'm still looking, I'm still searching, we'll wait on you. Thank you, I got some participation over there, thank you. Let me know when you're ready. Is everybody ready? Okay, amen. The word says, if you want to save your own life and the life of your son Solomon, follow my advice. Go at once to King David and say to him, my lord, the king, didn't you make a vow and say to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? And while you are still talking with him, I will come and confirm everything you have said. If you could please go to the Lord in prayer with me as we have read God's word. Heavenly Father, I come to the throne of grace today. I come before you, Lord, first to say thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this awesome opportunity to stand before your people, God, and I pray you hide me behind your cross, Lord. I pray you take the word that's taught today and you divide it up into individual servings that we may individually and respectively be able to digest it and apply it to our lives, oh God. I pray, God, right now that you would use me for the very purpose that you positioned me today on this platform, God. Have your way. Use me like never before, Lord. Help me to be flexible, Lord, to yield to the Holy Spirit, your prompting and your guiding. It's in Jesus' name I pray that this word falls on good ground, Lord, that lives will be changed and souls will be saved in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. So the journey to get to today has been an interesting one for me. It's funny how when you have a targeted focus or you have a calculated aim, that things arise that don't normally happen. But as I move closer to today, it became more clear why. As I said, we've been studying women who were marginalized. And my first approach to the woman of the hour that I will be teaching about today was to go very clinical. I did deep dives and I researched commentary. But the more I did that, the Holy Spirit redirected my focus, not to the theoretical, but to the practicality of God's word. How many of you know when God calls an audible, you should move? And he can cause an audible as he so chooses, and he called an audible. I had been firm standing on the direction that I wanted to teach this text, only for him to interrupt it and say, no, ma'am, this is real, this is relevant, it's not clinical. I need them to understand more than theory. I need them to be able to apply it. So I need them to walk away knowing how to apply it and how to practice it. So guess what I did? I said, okay, Lord, here I am, use me. So God began to move the real life scenarios to redirect me and draw me closer to the text I'm teaching today. I just love God, y'all. If we listen and we yield, he will direct and he will guide. You know, we often judge or we make up our mind about people before we know the facts. We read tweets, Facebook posts. We get a glimpse of a short snippet of their life, and we write a whole commentary without even knowing the facts. So the woman that we're studying today, Bathsheba, she doesn't have a whole lot of information written about her, but there is a lot of speculation regarding her motives and her intent the day that King David spotted her from his rooftop bathing. Some say she knew what she was doing and wanted the king to see her, but that's what some say. I believe that she would say to us, you may think you know, but you have no idea. You don't know what I went through or how I had to deal with the collateral damage of that day. Today we're going to take a look at Bathsheba, the woman who is known for her beauty and that infamous bath. But before we pull back the curtain on her life for a little while today, I want us to take note of two words: marginalized. That means to treat someone or something as if they're not important. The second word is matriarch, a powerful mother figure. I need you to tuck those away because we're going to reference those as we travel through Bathsheba's story today. We need to understand those words because as we move through her life, we're going to see a transformation revealed. We're going to witness Bathsheba move from marginalized in the sense that she had no say in that day when that decision was made for her when King David saw her bathing. She was coveted, so therefore she was captured. She was treated like property and not a person. Captured may seem like an inaccurate word, but if you stay with me, we'll see why that is a pretty accurate word in just a moment. So if you will, come with me as we walk and we talk with Bathsheba this morning. The saga begins in 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'll never forget that day that my whole life changed. It was a time of war. My husband Uriah was at war. My husband, you know, he was a faithful and godly man. The epitome of what it meant to serve and be loyal. He had the attitude and the heart of a servant. I went out to take a bath as it was the conclusion of my unclean time. I was unaware that King David had elected to stay behind and was not at war with his men. That at the very moment that I was bathing, he was walking his rooftop. It was not uncommon for me to be bathing where I was, but it was uncommon for him to not be at war with his men. King David spotted me from his rooftop and he summoned me. I was summoned to his palace. With no other choice, I obliged the king. King David was clear of his expectations and his intent. It wasn't as if I had a choice in the matter. In spite of me being married and married to one of his soldiers. King David's advances were made on me that day rather than the battlefield. As a result, I was with child. I sent word to the king, and that's when our lives became pawns in his game. He sent for my husband by way of Joab. His intentions were to send Uriah home to lay with me so that the child would appear to be his. But my husband was a loyal man and never came home that night. And as a result, King David invited him back with the hopes of getting him drunk, ensuring that, yes, this time he would go home. But again, Uriah, my faithful and loyal husband, still didn't come home. Each time he elected to sleep at the palace entrance with the guards. It was a time of war. Since King David couldn't manipulate my husband into sleeping with me, he plotted with Joab and had my husband killed. I want us to pause right here and take a slight intermission. You know what an intermission is, right? When you go to a play or a theatrical play, you take an intermission. Well, I want us to take one right here. In 2 Samuel 11, we see the story unfold. King David was out of position, so it placed him in a position that would cause him to change his life forever, even those that he came in contact with during that season. See, he should have been at war, but he elected to stay behind. And as a result, that was the first move. He was out of position. So therefore, every decision he made after that was a decision made outside of God's will. Every decision he made leads us to my first point for the day, the effect. Effect is the past tense of effect, which means to impact. Everything, as I said, that he did from that day forward affected not only his life, but Bathsheba's life. She had been marginalized and captured, meaning she was treated as if she was property and had no value, as well as forced into a situation with no choice. You may be here today and may be in a situation that you didn't ask to be a part of or impacted by the decisions of someone else. It could be that you're in a strained marriage. You're living through or with the effects of an unspeakable act. It could be that you are the collateral damage from somebody else's mess. But no matter what may be affecting you or me, you do not have to allow it to have an eternal impact on your life. Stay with me as we unpack how to move from being marginalized to a matriarch. And for the men, I know this is a message for the women, but from being paralyzed to a patriarch. Yes, this message is a focal point of women. Men, you have to take your rightful places as well. So the principles work. They're not gender specific, amen? So the saga continues in 2 Samuel 12, 24. As Bathsheba's new paradigm begins to unfold, she and David have another child, Solomon. Now, David has aged, and he's approaching death. But he hasn't appointed a successor at this point. Y'all, this is when it gets good. Y'all listening? All right then. Bathsheba is positioned in the palace, not of her own volition, and her life has been turned upside down by the desires of the king. She lost her husband, and she lost the child that they bore together. He died as well. This woman has moved for the most part in silence, not saying much, it appears, but obliging the king and his wishes. But this is when the tables turn, and Bathsheba moves from pawn in the game to queen in the game. If you know anything about chess, queen is the most powerful attack in the game. It's the most powerful position and attacking piece in the game. Nathan the prophet has been listening and watching. He's been, had his ear to the ground. He knew what was going on. And he'd heard that Adonijah was positioning himself to become king. So he went to Bathsheba and he shared this information with Bathsheba. He wasn't gossiping. It wasn't for the sake of small talk or chit-chat. It was with a purpose in mind. You see, Nathan was the one who called David out when David had Uriah killed. You can read it for yourself. He called David out, prompting David to go before God and repent. He all but told David, from this day forward, your house will never be the same. And I'm just going to be real urban right here. Basically, your house is going to be raggedy for a long time, sir. So, Nathan was a man that you wanted on your side. Nathan was powerful. He was a prophet that was not afraid of any man, of any assignment. He didn't mince words, and he moved when God told him to move. So he definitely was an advocate that you wanted on your side. Remember our text from this morning, the first scripture we read, 1 Kings chapter 1, 12 through 14? Nathan the prophet says, if you want to save your own life and the life of your son Solomon, follow my advice. Go at once to King David and say to him, my lord the king, didn't you make a vow? And say to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne. Why then has Adonijah become king? Get this, y'all. And while you are still talking with him, I will come and confirm everything you have said. Nathan was an advocate. We're going to get to that. Hold on. The vow is in 1 Chronicles 28. Verses 5 and 6, it reads, and from among my sons, for the Lord has given me many, he chose Solomon to succeed me on the throne of Israel and to rule over the Lord's kingdom. He said to me, your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards, for I have chosen him as my son, and I will be his father. Y'all better hold on, because it's finna get amped up in here. But I'm going to be good. But Pastor J.D., give me permission, so don't y'all tell on me. Nathan tells Bathsheba to remind the king of his words and his promises, the advocate. So we saw the effect. Yes, she has been impacted gravely. This woman minding her own business, but because one, she happened to catch the eye of the king, and if y'all don't know about King David, do a little research, but there is an old saying that we used to say at a church I used to attend, you didn't know what you was going to get, the king or the fool. Well, I want y'all to put the context clues together and tell me who we dealing with right here. Because he wanted what he wanted. And so she had been coveted. So therefore, he wanted her. So she was marginalized in the sense that you don't have a choice. I want you, so you're mine. So I'm going to try to cover up my sin. But now I'm going to kill your husband because he won't even play along. So we are pawns in this man's game. So we have been affected by this man. Now, this is when we hear from the advocate. You can be affected, but know you have an advocate. And Nathan was her advocate. So not only did he guide her and tell her what to say, he said, I'll be there to confirm everything you said. So y'all hold on. Y'all still with me? Y'all awfully quiet. Is it okay? Y'all good? Can I get an amen? Where my hallelujah corner at? Y'all don't want to sleep on me. Okay. Do you know why it's important for her to remind him of his words, of his promises? It's important because in Isaiah 62:6, the prophet Isaiah says, put the Lord in remembrance, keep not of his words, keep not silent. God doesn't respond to our tears. He doesn't respond to you falling out and crying and complaining and posting your problems on Facebook. He don't respond to that. What God responds to is his word. We call all the wrong people and cry to them when we should be calling on God and crying out to him and reminding him of his word, of his promises. See, Nathan was her advocate. But hold on, we got one too. This brings us to the second point, the advocate, one who pleads the cause of another, someone who intercedes on our behalf. Just as Nathan served as Bathsheba's advocate, we too have an advocate. Hebrews 7:25 says, speaking of Jesus, Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. In the court of heaven, we have an advocate. We have a defense attorney who has never lost the case. He goes before our accuser and says, yeah, they may be guilty, but guess what? I paid the ultimate price for their sin. So guess what? Not guilty. We have an advocate. When you have an advocate, someone that you trust and respect, such as Nathan, and he gives you direction and guides you, there's only one right response. There's only one. The action. So we've heard about the effect. Yes, we're all impacted by something. You could be going through something right now, something that you didn't ask to be a part of. Bathsheba didn't ask to be a part of this story. She didn't ask to be the main character in this story. But King David, that day, that infamous day where he drew a line in the sand and said, regardless, I'm a man after God's own heart. He knew that. He still made a wrong turn. And as a result, these people were collateral damage. She has lost her husband. Life, as she's known it, is turned upside down. She goes full term with a child and gives birth. If you have ever had a child, and you know what that feels like, to feel life inside of you, only to go through the whole process and the child dies. That's emotional carnage right there. It takes time to get over that effect. It says that David did give her time to mourn her husband before he made her his wife. But still, she was collateral damage. She was marginalized in the sense that she had no say that day. All she was doing what she was doing. Y'all get that in a minute. You'd be like, all she was doing, she was doing. Yeah, you'll get it in a minute. So that's my amen corner back there. Thank you. But we've seen the effect, the impact. Not only did it tear her house up, it tore up his house. Because when Nathan called him out, he posed a story. And David wanted to kill the man in the story. He said, that man is you. So David repented. But the Lord said, your house will never be the same. So that decision for him to be out of position and not be where he was purposed to be at war, to make a leisurely stroll, and because he was seated at the highest vantage point in the kingdom, he could see. Bathsheba caught his eye with no self-control. He summons someone and tells them, basically, go get her. And she comes. The effect. She wasn't a willing participant, but she had no choice. Remember what we said? You don't know how strong you have to be until strong is the only choice you have. Stay with me. We're going to find out how she moves from marginalized to matriarch. As I said, we've seen the effect. We've seen that she had an advocate, one that petitioned on her behalf. And now we see the action. The definition of action is the process of doing something, especially when dealing with a problem or difficulty. Something that you do. A physical movement. That means that you have to participate in it. Action is just that. You have to act. You have to do something. We have to take action. So, as a result of being affected, positioned in the palace, now having an advocate in Nathan. He is trusted and respected. He gives her direction. He guides her. He leads her, and she acts. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, 20 through 21, and 29 through 30. I'm going to summarize it for you. It says, so Bathsheba went into the king's bedroom. Bathsheba bowed down before the king. What can I do for you? He asked her. She replied, my lord, you made a vow before your lord, God, when you said to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king, and will sit on my throne. But instead, Adonijah has made himself king, and my lord, the king, does not even know about it. And now, my lord, all Israel is awaiting for you to announce who will become king after you. If you don't act, my son Solomon and I will be treated as criminals as soon as my lord, the king, has died. Okay, y'all, here we go. We saw the effect. She has an advocate, and she acts. She does just what he tells her to do. She moves, and she goes to see the king. And he asks, "What can I do for you?" She repeats to him his vow. And while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet arrived. See, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. When he sends you somewhere, you can trust and believe he's with you. Always petitioning, always interceding. When you're at your weakest, he is at his strongest. When you are at the end, he is just at the beginning. So you have to trust that the advocate, when he sends you, when he directs you, when he guides you, if you act according to his word, he will show up. And while you're still speaking, he will show up even the more. We see this all through scripture. He did the same thing for Moses. He told Moses, "Go and I'll be with you. And I'll give you the words to say." So his reputation compares to none. We have an advocate, and she had one as well. So while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet, he comes in, and the king's official says, "Nathan the prophet is here to see you." Bathsheba leaves the room. Nathan proceeds to do what he said he was going to do, because you have to remember, he was strong enough to call David out, and David moved. He corrected David. You don't see him in the text responding and getting sideways with David. Y'all get that later. Sideways, look that up. But what you do see is David move into a place of repentance. So he respects Nathan. He trusts Nathan. So when Nathan knocks on the door at that opportune time after Bathsheba repeats the vow, and he says, and they say, "Nathan the prophet is here to see you." And Bathsheba exits, and Nathan takes the stage. Her advocate, he said, "I will come and I will confirm everything you have said." So what did he do? He did just what he said as her advocate. He didn't leave her. He didn't give her a partial command and instruction and leave her. We don't always have the whole story, but we have to trust as we walk that thing out in faith that he's with us always. And he is, because he's the advocate. Nathan begins to inform the king of everything he's heard and seen. Remember, I told you he had his ear to the ground. He knew what Adonijah was doing. And so he proceeds to tell King David, "Did you know Adonijah was self-appointing himself king? He got parties planned, and he got bounce houses for the kids, and he got hot dogs and brisket and ribs. And then on top of all that, he didn't even invite me or Solomon." Guess what King David does? King David responded, "Call Bathsheba." So she came back and stood before the king. And the king repeated his vow. "As surely as the Lord lives, who has rescued me from every danger, your son Solomon will be the next king and will sit on my throne this very day. Just as I vowed to you before the Lord, the God of Israel." As I stated earlier, as I studied, it was revealed to me that these women that we've been studying were designed for the very point in time that they were born. And that they could each be described by one powerful word: Tamar, calculating; Rahab, strategic; Ruth, bold; and here we have Bathsheba, poised. She went from being marginalized to position of matriarch to now acting and executing my right and my authority as queen in the game, the most powerful attacking piece in the game. She moves from marginalized to matriarch. But she was poised throughout the whole time. Remember how I said we fall apart? We start crying and texting and putting tweets and Facebook and Snapchat, all that other stuff. I don't even know all that. But we go the wrong way. We should be petitioning God and reminding him of his word and keep not silent. Because we have an advocate, as I said before, we have a defense attorney who never sleeps, never slumbers, but he lives to intercede for who? For us. And though the accuser says that we are guilty day and day at night, day in and day out, Jesus says, I paid the ultimate price. The King of the living and the dead, when he speaks, he says, not guilty. So she had an advocate who positioned himself close to her so that she could hear from him and she could act on his words at the opportune time to move her from a place of being marginalized to being a matriarch, not only in that kingdom, but in the kingdom. She listened to her advocate, and he supported and guided her. She took action, which saved her and her son. Remember, she started as a pawn, moved to queen. This was her checkmate move. Game over. This move abdicated Adonijah from the throne and changed the trajectory of her and her son's future. Bathsheba may have started out in a marginalized position, but she transitioned to matriarch, a woman of power because she didn't allow the impact of David's decision to stifle her. But she did trust her advocate, and she took action. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. But if you can identify with being marginalized, whether it's on a job, in a relationship, circumstances beyond your control, and you feel like you just can't seem to get beyond that space of being marginalized, treated like a no one or a nothing, and you know that today is the day for you to draw a line in the sand, whether you are female or male, and you need to move from marginalized to matriarch, or paralyzed to patriarch, and get in the right position in Christ, meaning that either you need to give your life to Christ so that he can take full control and he can lead you and guide you with all of the authority, all of the anointing, and all of the power that resides in you when Jesus Christ lives in you. If you need to move into that position to give your life to Christ, or you've gotten out of position, and as a result of you getting out of position, everything in your household, everything in your life seems to be wayward. If that's you, as Pastor Jay says, it's time to do business with God. It's time to get in the right position. You don't have to let the effect be eternal. You have an advocate. You have to take action. So if that's you today, with every eye closed and every head bowed, shoot your hand in the air. I want to pray for you right there where you are. It's time to stop playing the game. Take your rightful position to allow God to move, to change your life and the trajectory of your family's life.